This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And we are back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. One more mock draft to go through, and it's mine. Again, it's going to be a seven-round mock. I traded into the third round and then made a couple picks on the back end. I did forget to save my list of picks, so it's going to be kind of a mystery as we scroll through and try to remember which picks I traded for. I believe it was 95. I took a later trade into the third round than you did, Steve, which is why I was able to give up a little bit less. Okay. I think I was able to make that trade with a fourth rounder instead of a third rounder, which I would feel a lot better about. Gave away two of the fifth rounders and I think the sixth rounder, but I was able to make a couple picks on the back end. So there'll be some later round options, but let's just dive right into it. This one goes a little bit more like we expect. You get the three quarterbacks at the top: Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, 1, 2, 3. Marvin Harrison goes number 4 to the Cardinals, and Malik Nabers number 5 to the Chargers. Then J.J. McCarthy, number 6 to the Giants. So these are all your mock went crazy. Mine is right on line with what we expect. And that's probably why it's going to be wrong. But we'll continue down here. Again, you know, this is kind of the normal equation.
How are Giants fans going to feel going from Daniel Jones to J.J. McCarthy?
They're going to be mad about it. Dallas Turner goes to the Titans at number 7. Brock Bowers to the Falcons at number 8. Rome Odunze to the Bears at number 9. Right, so that's kind of the accepted. You know, it might not be the order. You know, I think a lot of people might say Odunze goes a little higher, but I think that's going to be pretty close to what happens. Now, your guy Olufoshana comes off the board for me at number 10, so he's not on my list. So I don't have to worry about making the popular pick. Arnold goes.
Sean Payton smiling in your mock draft too.
Yes. Terrion Arnold comes off at number 11 to the Vikings. Then Joe Alt falls all the way to 12. I think personally, if Joe Alt gets to 11, you are moving heaven and earth to make that trade with the Vikings. Assuming the Vikings aren't making that pick, right? If the Vikings are looking at this and saying, we want Terrion Arnold, we want a cornerback, then trade down, because Quinyon Mitchell's still on the board, right? So like, you could trade down to number 14, assuming that both of those guys aren't coming off, and see, you pick up whatever value you need, because you're not taking the obvious guy anyway. Like, there's a very obvious pick that people are going to be dying to get their hands on, and the Vikings would be crazy. Like, Olufoshana comes off, right? Olufoshana comes off to 10 to the Jets. They wouldn't make that trade because they want to tackle anyway. And they don't. And if they really love, this would mean that they love Olufoshana so much that they're going to bypass Joe Alt to take him. So they're not going to trade down because they must have a really high grade on Olu. But the Vikings clearly, you know, they would be crazy to sit in this spot. But either way, Joe Alt goes to the Broncos in this mock at number 12. Again, Sean Payton is having a very good day in both of our mocks, because he got Jaden Daniels in yours and he gets Joe Alt in mine. Next, that's the guy we talked about, Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo. you could make an argument that he is the first top cornerback on the board. I would make that argument over Terrion Arnold, but we'll go on. And then, so I'm going to go back to my guy. He was my pick in the first two mocks. For whatever reason, he's always on the board when I pick, and he's never on the board when you pick. But Taliese Fuanga, number 14 overall, he's just going to be that guy that you, you know, if Ryan Ramczyk can play, he'll back up Ryan Ramczyk to start the year. And if Ryan Ramczyk can't play, he'll start in week one. I expect him to take over at some point in his rookie season, assuming Ryan gets hurt or can't finish it out. And if not, then he's a guy who will be primed as your starting right tackle for the next 3 years. However long you get out of Ryan is a, you know, you're stealing at this point. So that's a no brainer pick to me, and I'm happy about it. And yeah.
No, it's in obviously that range and that the number of tackles that we've talked about, you got like a little run going on right here.
Yeah, and so in this mock, Graham Barton goes way higher. He goes number 15 overall to the Colts. Troy Fatanu goes to the Seahawks at 16. Then Byron Murphy to the Jaguars to break up the tackles at 17. Then J.C. Latham to the Bengals. So again, these are all the, you know, other than Graham Barton, these are the common names that you've seen for the Saints, and they all kind of go in that range. So I don't think you'd go wrong with basically any of them. It's just about taking the guy that you think fits best. And to me, that road grading right tackle just is what you need. Like, we talk about the pass protection, and yes, that's important. But one of the other issues this team has had is they can't run the ball. And protecting the passer becomes a lot easier to do when you can run the ball, right? So I think that's almost as important to me as getting that kind of plug and play pass protector, is getting a guy who can help unlock the run game for some of these guys. And don't take that as saying Taliese is not a good pass protector. I think he's just got a little more work to do in that part of his game than maybe Olu does. But Olu's not the run blocker that this guy is. So, you know, you kind of take what you can. But yeah, I feel good about that pick. It's been the only mock that it wasn't my pick in. And that's, again, it's helpful that the board goes the way that I need it to, was the last mock. And that was just because I traded down.
Right. There you go. Exactly.
So this has been my guy from day one. It's still my guy. If he's on the board at 14, I think he's going to be the pick.
Interested seeing here. I think my mock also had the Rams taking Bo Nix.
I think yours had him taking J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, that was it. That's right. He fell that far. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So J.J.'s off the board now. But yeah, the Rams taking a quarterback makes sense, just because, yeah, you know, like, obviously Matt Stafford is still playing at a high level, but he's getting up there, right? It would be wise to plan for the future at the quarterback position. But yeah, so Bo Nix, 19 to the Rams, Brian Thomas Jr. to the Steelers at number 20. I think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to be one of these guys we talk about in a couple of years, like Justin Jefferson. And we look back and we're like, how did he get all the way to 20? I genuinely think that's going to be the case, because he's just got so much talent, and I feel like he's just scratching the surface. Like, he's got the size, he's got the speed, he can make contested catches. He's just a touchdown machine. I genuinely think that he's going to be that guy from this draft that we're going to redo this mock, or we're going to, you know, they do like the re-ranking of like, okay, if we picked again today, where would these guys go? I think he's going to be a guy that ends up getting picked in like the top eight, and one of these wide receivers that we're universally saying is a top 10 pick is going to be a bust.
No, I'd be curious if it wasn't such a chock full draft and these offensive tackles, would Thomas's be viewed as a much higher pick? Because I agree with you. You know, you look at where he's slated to go in this draft, and nobody really has him in the top 15, I would even think.
No, but that doesn't mean he won't get picked in the top 15, right? It just takes one team to fall in love with a guy, and then he gets a lot higher than and that's going to be a theme that we talk about. But all right. So keeping going on, Jared Verse, number 21 to the Dolphins, Chop Robinson to the Eagles at 22, Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson, to the Vikings at 23, Cooper DeJean to the Cowboys at 24. So this is a guy who went number 6 in your mock to the Giants. And in this mock, he's going number 24 to the Cowboys. So that just tells you there's a lot of volatility in his draft stock that is tough to gauge. Leitu Latu, Packers at 25. Amarius Mims to the Bucks at 26. You know, and so if you had to pick 26 and get an offensive lineman, this is probably a good year for you. Like a lot of times you're not going to get a top end option at 26, but the Bucs are sitting there landing these guys, you know, either the top interior lineman or, you know, a really high level prospect at tackle in Amarius Mims. Tyler Guyton's still not off the board. So someone at PFF has been sitting there like trashing Tyler for some reason.
It seems like that, right?
All right, keeping going. Xavier Worthy, Cardinals, and Adonai Mitchell to the Bills. So both Texas wide receivers go back-to-back here at number 27 and 28. Darius Robinson is going 29 here. So your mock was all over the place. I do wonder if maybe you messed with one of these sliders and didn't realize it.
Like I said, the only one I knowingly did was just the speed of the draft.
Yeah, because like Darius Robinson goes 29 here. He went like 62 in yours.
Pretty wild, for sure.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, the last three picks. Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama goes to the Ravens at 30. Jackson Powers Johnson to the 49ers at 31. And then Jordan Morgan, offensive tackle out of Arizona, goes to the Chiefs at 32. Going down here, again, I didn't make any trades in the second round, so we can just go up to 45. Johnny Newton falls all the way to 33. Then Tyler Guyton, your guy, goes at 34 to the Patriots. Xavier Leggett to the Cardinals at 35. Patrick Paul out of Houston. You know, another fringe first-round tackle that no one really talks about goes to the Commanders at 36. Ladd McConkey, Ennis Rakestraw Jr., Jalen Polk, Peyton Wilson, Zach Frazier, Mike Sanristil, who was my pick in the first mock at 45, and the guy got an F for it, goes to the Texans at 42. Kingsley Sumataya goes to the Falcons at 43. Then Michael Penix Jr. So if you were a Michael Penix Jr. stan and you really wanted him on the Saints, he's off the board right before the Saints pick at 45. I don't think he would have been the pick at 45. If he was there, I wouldn't have taken him. But he's not an option. So who is it? Keon Coleman.
Come on down.
45. Wide receiver out of Florida State, Louisiana guy. He's visited the Saints. He's that big-bodied receiver. Kind of reminds you of Mike Thomas from a playstyle perspective. He's not a guy who relies on separation to make catches. That can be a gift and a curse because you got to be able to make those contested catches, those battle catches. I think he can. So he's a guy. I think I went Xavier Leggett in the last mock. This time I go Keon Coleman. If either of those guys ended up on the Saints, I would be happy about it. This time Keon's the guy who fell, so Keon's the guy I took. There's a lot of other wide receiver options you could go with. This would not be the end of the world if you didn't take either of those guys and still got a wide receiver. But this makes sense to me, and I think that would be a really good first two rounds for me personally if I ended up with Fuanga and Keon Coleman at 14 and 45.
No, we've talked about, obviously, the wide receiver position a bunch too. And for me, if you could get a Keon Coleman or an Xavier Leggett and pair them up with, you know, Rashid Shaheed, obviously, and, you know, Chris Olave, I think that's a nice trio for the black and gold.
I agree. So going forward, remember, I traded for a third round pick. I traded for a later one. I think it was 95. I traded with the Chiefs. And it makes sense because the Chiefs are a team that, you know, they live in the late rounds because they have to, because they pay Pat Mahomes so much. You got to fill out the roster some way. And, you know, and they make hay on these later round picks because Pat Mahomes can turn these guys into, at least these offensive guys, into star players, right? That's the value of having one of those quarterbacks, is you don't have to give them first round wide receivers. You can give them, you know, Mecole Hardman, or, you know, he might have been second rounder. I can't remember. Like Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and he's going to go win a Super Bowl with them. So anyway, yeah, we're going to keep going. I won't go through all these names, but yeah, Ricky Pearsall comes off. Tyler Newbin, first safety. Roman Wilson at 54 to the Browns. Jonathan Brooks, 55 to the Dolphins. Braden Fisk, who was both of our picks last time. Oh, yeah, no, I didn't take Xavier Leggett last time. I took Braden Fisk. I think I took Xavier Leggett in a previous mock. But
for sure,
either way, he's a guy. He's still on the board. Still on the board. But I like Keon, and I went with Keon this time. I changed my mind. Jatavion Sanders. Probably the only day two tight end, or at least day two, like good value day two tight end.
Right.
We're going to keep going. So we're into the third round. Marshawn Nealand's a guy that I would have been interested in if he got all the way to 95. He didn't. He goes off at 65 to the Panthers. Christian Haynes, another interesting name, goes to the Commanders at 67. Brandon Coleman goes to the Giants. Tackle out of TCU. Here's your guy, Ruke Orororo.
I think that's who I traded with too, the Jets. So that's kind of funny.
Yeah, that's a good value pick for you. Blake Fisher, Javon Buller, Jalen Wright. Keep going down. Jalen McMillan out of Washington goes to the Colts at 82. Then Trey Benson out of Florida State. He's a guy I would have looked at. I really like that Florida State offense. I don't know why I keep coming back to it. Spencer Rattler goes to the Browns. You know, you kind of get to these middle tier quarterbacks. You're talking about Michael Pratt, Spencer Rattler, guys the Saints might really like, and this would be an area they could go target them. So if they're trading up into the third round, it could be for one of these quarterbacks if they really do like them. Johnny Wilson's a guy I took in the third round of the last mock. Wide receiver out of Florida State, probably ends up being a tight end. But okay, we're getting close here. And 95, Saints trade up with the Chiefs. Dun, 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 dun. And we are getting Mason Smith, defensive tackle, out of LSU. We talked about this on the last pod. He has visited the Saints. And we expect him to go a lot higher than the board might think. This was high for him in the PFF big board. I knew I could get him at 95 because I knew PFF had him rated really low. I don't think that's reality. I think PFF is undervaluing him. And, you know, 45 is probably too rich. I don't think you could justify it at 45. Maybe, but that would be a reach, in my opinion. That said, if I can trade in the 95 and get him there, I think that's a steal because this is a guy, you know, if you could draft guys out of high school, you know, off the hype you're getting out of a high school player, he would have been a first round pick. He didn't deliver at LSU, but it wasn't really about talent level, right? It was about that defense just sucked this past year. It's tough to be a defensive tackle when the secondary can't cover, right? And he's coming off that injury, that nasty injury in week one 2 years ago. So he's healthy now, and you're just kind of going back to those elite traits. You know, did he get the amount of development you hoped he would at the college level? No, but that's why he's available at number 95. And when you're drafting at number 95, you're not going to get a perfect prospect, but you are looking for elite traits and you're working for a top end work ethic. And I think he got that there. So I feel good about Mason Smith at number 95.
I know Mike Dettillier is going to love your pick. That's his guy.
He's real good. Like, I feel like people have forgotten just how top end this dude is from a talent physicality perspective. Another interesting one. So this was the last pick before the comp picks. And if you recall, you weren't on the episode, but I went through all of the visits that we knew about for the Saints, and Christian Mahogany was one of them, a guard out of Boston College. So this is an area where there's a couple visits on the board that if this is a guy that you've gotten a really good look at and you really like, that could be the trade. If you trade to 95, it could be to go draft Christian Mahogany because that's kind of where his value is at in the mock drafts. But either way, like Cade Stover is another interesting option, tight end out of Ohio State. I think tight end should be a target for the Saints in this draft somewhere. I feel really good about it. So far, my picks, Taliesi Fuanga at 14, Keon Coleman at 45, and Mason Smith at 95.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
No, the Mason Smith pick is definitely an eye-opener, and I know, obviously, LSU fans will be loving that for the black and gold if they were to draft him. I can't remember the last player. Was it Will Clapp that the Saints, LSU player that the Saints
drafted? He was the last LSU draft pick. Okay. They've obviously signed several LSU players, right? Tyrann Mathieu, Jarvis Landry, Foster Moreau, but they have not drafted them. So this would be a kind of a
break the mold.
Step away from that, right?
Yeah.
So I don't have a fourth-round pick. So we'll just kind of fly through this. Ben Sinnott, tight end off the board. He's a guy I really liked.
Cameron Jenkins. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., the linebacker, too. He was someone I was considering in the third, and I saw he went early in the fourth.
Yeah, he went 102 overall. So he was the second pick of the fourth round. Linebacker out of Clemson. He went to the Seahawks. Cameron Kitchens is an interesting one. I think safety is a position you could target with some of your fifth-round picks. Obviously, I traded away a lot of these later round picks, so I don't have them. But he went to the Eagles at 120. Michael Pratt goes to the Broncos at 121.
Sean Payton strikes again.
Sean Payton comes back to New Orleans to get his quarterback. And he's going to have Michael Pratt and Joe Alt to control Alt Delete. All right.
Saints fans won't be mad at all.
T'Vondre Sweat goes off at 126. He's another guy that I think defensive tackle is, you're going to get a defensive tackle somewhere. So whether it's Mason Smith, T'Vondre Sweat, one of these guys, one of these top end athletes, I expect them to go after. Mekhi Wingo goes at 128 to the Bills, another LSU guy that no one's really talking about. Okay, we are into the fifth round. Theo Johnson goes off the board. He's a sexy name for the Saints. So you're kind of losing those options at the tight end position if that was a position you wanted to target. Mo Kamara goes to the Panthers at number 141. So we will have some Kamara on Kamara violence most likely at some point this season if this is the case. Cornelius,
what's going to happen when someone says Kamara and then the other one says Kamara and, you know.
I don't know. It's tough. Jaquan Jackson, Tulane wide receiver, goes off at 147. Yeah. He's an interesting guy to me. And so we're getting to my pick at 150. This is the one I didn't trade, the fifth round pick I didn't trade. And I went with Dylan Lobey out of New Hampshire because if I'm going to talk about the guy so much, I might as well put my money where my mouth is and draft the guy. And I think it'd be a good pick. I think, you know, fifth round, this might be a little early for him, but remember, I traded away those other two fifth round picks. So I am waiting a good bit to get to my next pick. And this just makes sense to me. I like this pick. I like the depth that you're adding in that running back room. You know, Kendre Miller is not the scat back guy, even though he can catch. I think he is more of your between the tackles runner. And this could be a good combo if you can find a way to keep Dylan around. Maybe he ends up on the practice squad this year and then you bring him back at some point. But yeah, I like this pick. I think running back is a position the Saints will target. And again, you know, this is a guy they got a really good look at. He was at the Senior Bowl. He looked really good at the Senior Bowl. They had him in for a visit. So I think this is what I'm happy about.
Check off the standard was at the Senior Bowl on the, you know, interview box.
Agreed. All right, we're going to keep going. Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver out of Rice. He's a guy I considered. I like Luke. I don't know. I don't think that you're that desperate for a wide receiver that you're going to, you know, just start throwing darts at the position. But, hey, Jaheim Bell out of Florida State, tight end, another tight end off the board. We're going to keep going. I genuinely cannot remember what my next pick is, so I'm just going to scroll down. We're into the sixth round. Again, like I said, I traded those other two third rounder or those other two fifth rounders, those two fifth round comps. So we are into the sixth round for our next pick. And that pick, so you got Jordan Travis going off at 187 to the Falcons. That's interesting to me. You know, I think that the Falcons should be considering some young quarterbacks they could develop behind Kirk Cousins. But yeah, so you're kind of into these a lot of names that you probably don't know. But I'm going with another guy that I know they had a visit with, and that's Christian Boyd, defensive tackle. Right. So, like, I think there is one of these tackles, one of Mason Smith and Christian Boyd, you would expect to develop into that rotational defensive tackle this season, right? And that's kind of the Malcolm Roach position that you really didn't have anyone at. PJ Mustipher was in the mix later in the season. So there's space for that. And so I think defensive tackle is one that I don't know if you can ever have too many bodies at. These guys get hurt. You know, they're constantly in the muck getting rolled up on. So I think Christian Boyd would make a lot of sense, a guy they got a good look at. Guy, Northern Iowa, again, like I think going back to familiar wells for talent is something that happens, and Saints have had a couple Northern Iowa players. That's my pick at 190.
And yeah, we've talked about obviously that need on that line is just a notch below the offensive line to me, obviously, because we saw issues last season, maybe not as much getting to the quarterback, but man, oh man, stopping the run was a huge issue.
Agreed. Yeah, I just think like no one gets excited when they draft a defensive tackle at 190 overall. But I do think that that's kind of where you can find some, you know, the wide receivers, the running backs, you know, they're going to flash. It's hard to find a value on them in the late rounds. The defensive tackles who kind of just get lost in the dust I think you can nab a couple of those. I think that's who Christian Boyd could be. And again, it's just a guy who probably is a developmental player. You throw him on the practice squad, give him some time. Problem is, it's tough to keep all these guys around. That's why I just don't see, how many picks can you make, right?
Right.
If the Saints trade back, I think you're trading back, obviously, for value, but not necessarily this year's value, right? Well, one thing that's annoyed me over the last several years is like, you want to be aggressive and trade up, but it's a lot easier to be aggressive and trade up when you kind of have cycled it so that the year before you weren't aggressive and you accumulated assets so that when you do want to be aggressive, you have extra picks to work with.
Yeah, right? That ammo.
When you're trading up, when you're at a deficit already and then you trade up, it's like, geez, now we just have nothing. You're pick poor already, and now you're even more pick poor. But all right. And then the final pick, we don't need to go through all these names, but we're in round 7. I want to say it's 239. It is. And so we end up with Brevin Spanford. Like I said, I wanted to target tight end somewhere. And, when you get to these late picks, these UDFAs, it's funny. So why do you pick a guy in the 7th round? Like, what draws you to a guy in the 7th round? Well, in a lot of cases, it's going to be, okay, this is a guy that we wanted as a UDFA, but it's competitive and we don't want to have to compete with anyone and we're just going to take him, right? That's what happened with Tommy Myers. Remember Tommy Myers? So he was a quarterback. They wanted to convert him to tight end. He wanted to go to the Panthers. He was going to sign to the Panthers as a UDFA. So what do the Saints do? They trade into the 7th round and say, no, you're coming here. We're not going to let you go to the Panthers. We're going to draft you. Now, what ended up happening? He went to the Panthers. He ended up on the Panthers and he didn't really do anything in the NFL. But that's like when you're talking about a 7th round pick, a lot of the time it's just who's the most competitive UDFA on your board and how badly do you want him? Because that's kind of where you are. The other thing that Mickey Loomis will say, and most general managers would say, is when you get into the UDFA kind of area or the 7th round area, you're not necessarily looking for a perfect prospect because they don't exist. You are looking for elite traits. You are looking for one or two elite traits, and a tight end that's 6'7 and can run a 4.7 40, I would say that's elite athleticism at the tight end position.
I was going to say, your boy's got the size. I was looking up his stats.
Yeah. Now, the problem with Brevin is he's a 6'7 tight end that doesn't block well. and that's a problem, obviously. But I do think that, when you have the traits necessary, I can teach you how to be a better blocker, right? He's a big tight end that blocks like a little tight end. I need him to be a big tight end that blocks like a big tight end. And I'm betting that I can develop that part of his game because he's got all the tools to do it. And again, you're talking about a 7th round pick. If you're drafting a 7th round pick that you don't feel like needs development to succeed at the NFL level, then you're not, because this is make-believe, because there's no such thing as a 7th round pick that doesn't need to develop. They're in the 7th round. Like, that's why. I think one of the things you look at the roster, okay, what don't they have? What don't the Saints have? They don't have a big blocking tight end. Foster Moreau is kind of a dirty work guy, but I don't think that that's necessarily, he's kind of a tweener at the tight end position because he's not a pass catcher, but he's also not a big guy who can be an extra offensive lineman, right? Basically that jumbo offensive lineman. That's not what he is. Juwan Johnson, that's definitely not what he is. He's more of a move tight end. So I think he would make a lot of sense, or tight end at all would make a lot of sense. And whether it's the 5th, 6th, 7th round, whether it's Cade Stover, right, Eric All, one of these guys, I think you're going to see the Saints add a tight end because this is, they haven't done it in a while and then it's about time.
Yeah, and you're not going to have likely, Jimmy Graham back. He seemed to say his goodbyes on Instagram, not in so many words, but basically was, it was fun, New Orleans. Thanks for everything.
Jimmy Graham is currently training to row across the Arctic.
Right, that too, exactly.
He's busy. He's not playing. you have a roster spot that was there last year that you're not using. The question is Taysom Hill is how much do you use Taysom Hill as a tight end? What does this new offense kind of look like for the tight end position? in ways that it didn't with Pete Carmichael and Sean Payton? Like, that's, those are questions you have to answer. And I think, you know, one of the things that we hadn't talked about is, like, I think some of these draft picks this year are going to be new prototype picks that Clint Kubiak feels like he needs to run his offense the way he wants to run his offense. So, like, for the tight end position specifically, that's where, you know, it's kind of tough to gauge because I don't know what that prototype might specifically be. But if there's one of these tight ends that's available in the fifth round that Clint looks at and says, yes, this is the profile that I think works for us in this offense, then you're probably going to go get him. So I think this year, more so than some other years where you are shifting in terms of play style, I think you're going to, the offensive coordinator is going to have a bit more sway. 2 years down the line, if there's still this offense in place, it won't be like that. It will be more of a scouting based thing because you've already made that transition. It's kind of like if you're going from a 4-3 defense to a 3-4 defense, a lot of your draft picks have to be geared toward, okay, this is a guy I need for the 3-4 because the guys we have in here are not 3-4 guys, or at least not all of them. So I think that's kind of what you're going to be looking at. But that's the draft board. Right. It's Taliesi Fuanga at number 14. It is Keon Coleman, wide receiver out of Florida State, at number 45. I traded into the third round. I traded a couple fifth rounders. I think I traded a sixth rounder. And then I traded next year's fourth rounder for number 95 overall. And that's where I grabbed Mason Smith, defensive tackle out of LSU. PFF would tell you that's a bit of a reach. I disagree with PFF on that subject. Then at 150, I grabbed Dylan Lobey, running back out of New Hampshire. At my next pick was, I want to say, what was it, 190? 190, I grabbed Christian Boyd, defensive tackle out of Northern Iowa. So I've restocked the defensive tackle position. And then my final pick was Brevin Spann, forward tight end out of Minnesota. A lot of players, a lot of young guys, a lot of positions where you needed the numbers and you got them. You found a guy at tackle to help bridge that gap for however long Ryan Ramczyk plays. You added a body in the wide receiver room that can be kind of that big physical guy. You added a tight end who can be a blocker for you. You added a running back, a young running back who can be kind of a scat back prototype that will help you bridge that gap if you do have to move on from Alvin Kamara or Jamal Williams next year. And yeah, feel good about it.
Overall, obviously, anything past, to me, the first round is obviously a crapshoot just because it's so difficult. But the exercise really is, to, for me at least, just getting a general feel of like who could be in that possibility range for the Saints or another team.
Yeah, and again, it's like, okay, one of the things that a lot of people might not realize is like you're not just drafting guys because you watch their tape and you like them. You're drafting guys that you scouted and you got a really good look at. And that's why when I see visits, that means something. It's, you're not, I think it's a lot rarer than people realize for a team to draft a guy that they did not have a meeting with. Like an in-person meeting. That's what the combine's for. It's what the Senior Bowl's for. But these teams value these top 30 visits. Like they don't just throw them around. So that's why, you know, I end up with a guy like Lobby and a guy I've talked about a lot, obviously. But all right, that's it. That's the final mock draft 4.0. There's a post up on WWL, at least there will be by the time this goes live, that you can follow along with or go back and kind of see the picks. We got a draft coming up on Thursday. So this will be the last mock draft, obviously. I'll try to get an episode out based on what Mickey Loomis says Tuesday. He's got a press conference at noon. So if he says anything interesting, I'll give that to you here. But otherwise, we're going to dive all the way in. We have a really good draft show on Thursday that you should check out. We got interviews with Clint Kubiak, Rick Dennison, all these new coaches, or at least most of these new coaches, will be on that show. So you'll hear from Clint for the first time. You can hear his voice. And we'll come back with, we'll play a lot of that audio probably on Sunday. We have a recap show on WWL that Steve, myself, and Charlie Long will be on, and we will turn that around for a podcast episode just like we did last year. But otherwise, I think that's it. I think we did it. How you feeling, Steve?
Good. But you know the crazy part, obviously, when the draft wraps up, and we'll be doing, like you said, our draft recap show, but there'll be people putting out the 2025 mock draft. And you're like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not into that.
No part of that. I don't want that either, right?
No, I'm going to start turning around my first roster projection. That's what I'm looking for. I'm way more into that than I am the mock drafts, personally. I like the roster projection because, I don't know, I'm usually pretty good at it. Like, I usually get most of these names, right? So we'll see. No, but yeah, that's something I'll probably look to post pretty quickly.
You had both Olave and Penning, right?
Last year or two years ago? Yeah. Yeah, I had Brzee last year and Foskey, so...
Oh, okay. I forgot you had Brzee.
Yeah. By the time we get to the end, it's like, okay, there's like three names. Pick one.
Right.
I should start gambling on these. But all right. This is Inside Black and Gold. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I know it's another long one. Thank you. If you got all the way to the end, thank you. Appreciate that. Leave a review. Subscribe if you haven't. And otherwise, we'll be back at it in a couple days. Who dat? Go Saints.
Let's go draft, baby.
Easy, y'all. Peace.